This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Leviticus. Open your Bibles to the book of Leviticus as Pastor Sandy teaches through chapters 10 through 13.
Nevertheless, though these you shall not eat among those that chew the cud, or those that have cloven hooves. And he lists some examples, some exceptions. He says the camel, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. He says, don't eat any camels. This week, when you go to lunch, do not ask for camels if you want to stay kosher. Don't eat a camel, and it's probably not a good idea to smoke a camel either. They are unclean foods. The rock hyrax, or the rock badger, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. You know, when we were in Israel back in May, we saw scores and scores of these little rock badgers crawling around on the rocks up around the Golan Heights. They're these furry little creatures. They look like chipmunks. The hare, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. In other words, if there's a hare in your food, don't eat it. Verse 7, and the swine, though it divides the hoof, having cloven hoofs, yet does not chew the cud, is unclean to you. Their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. They are unclean to you. And here, my friend, is the major reason why I'm glad that I'm not Jewish. For I love swine meat. Bacon and ham and sausage and pork barbecue. I mean, if we were all Jewish, if we were living under the kosher laws, we all would have been struck dead this morning back here in the brook when we were pigging out on that sausage back there in those grits. Hey, I'm a pig-eating Gentile who's been saved by God's grace. I'm glad. Verse 9, these you may eat of all that are in the water. Whatever in the water has fins and scales, whether in the seas or in the rivers, that you may eat. Fish was a clean animal. You could eat a water creature that had fins or scales. But all in the seas or in the rivers that do not have fins and scales, all that move in the water or any living thing which is in the water, they are an abomination to you. And here's another reason why I'm glad I'm not Jewish. I'm also a shrimp-eating Gentile. Shellfish were off limits. Shrimp and scallops and lobsters were forbidden. And so the next time you sit down to that shrimp lover's dinner at you-know-where, my favorite restaurant, not Kathy's, but my favorite restaurant, Red Lobster, say a prayer and thank the Lord that we are no longer under the law, but that we have been saved by God's grace. Well, seafood without fins and scales shall be an abomination to you. You shall not eat their flesh, but you shall regard their carcasses as an abomination. Whatever is in the water does not have fins or scales. That shall be an abomination to you. You know, let me just say one thing. From time to time, I run into Christians, believers, Gentile believers, that become fascinated with their Jewish roots. And I, too, am fascinated with my Jewish roots. I'm reading through the Jewish scriptures and gleaning a lot of helpful information. But sometimes they, in a lot of these Messianic congregations, you know, you get the feeling that if you're keeping the Jewish laws, if you're, if you're kind of in that Jewish, style, that you're more spiritual. Don't believe that for a second. We've been set free from the law. And you remember what the New Testament says, if you want to live under the law, then you need to live under all of the law. Don't you eat a shrimp. Don't you nibble on any sausage. If you're going to live under the law, well, then you got to live under all the law. I'm so glad. I'm thankful. I'm done with that. Praise the Lord for His grace. Verse 13, and these you shall regard as an abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the kite, and the falcon after its kind. Notice the falcon was a forbidden food. Falcons were non-kosher. God calls falcons unclean animals. Hey, even God called the falcons dirty birds. I've been waiting all week to do that. Every raven after its kind, the ostrich, the short-eared owl. You know, you can get ostrich meat at Fuddruckers. You can get an ostrich burger. You can also get a buffalo burger. If you're a Gentile, under grace. Not if you're a Jew, under the law. The short-eared owl, the seagull, and the hawk after its kind. The little owl, the fisher owl, the screech owl, the white owl, the jackdaw, and the carrion vulture, the stork, the heron after its kind, the hoopoe, and the bat. Notice the bat. The bat. The bat was considered a foul food. Bats and fowls. All flying insects that creep on all fours shall be an abomination to you. Yet these you may eat of every flying insect that creeps on all fours, those which have jointed legs above their feet with which to leap on the earth. These you may eat, the locust after its kind, the destroying locust after its kind, the cricket after its kind, and the grasshopper after its kind. In other words, grasshoppers were clean. They were kosher, which is why John the Baptist could come eating locusts and wild honey and still keep kosher, be accepted by the Jews. But all other flying insects which have 4 feet shall be an abomination to you. Now, in Exodus chapter 15 and in verse 26, God made a promise to Israel, and this is what he promised her. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. And these dietary laws were God's fulfillment of that promise. Here in Leviticus chapter 11, God eliminated from the Hebrew diet meat that was prone to carry parasites and disease and infection. Keeping kosher, eating only clean meats, protected Israel from the type of diseases that would plague the Gentile nations around them. This was an act of God's mercy. It's interesting, in the Middle Ages, when the bubonic plague swept through Europe, it was the Jews. They were the only people group that was unaffected by the plague. And the Gentiles accused them of poisoning their rivers and their streams. They couldn't figure out why the Jews were not affected by the plague. You see, it was their diet and their hygiene that made them immune. Today, the nation Israel has one of the longest age spans of any nation. And it's because of their hygiene and their kosher laws. God was and is an excellent dietitian. Back in June, Kathy and I went down to a Caribbean island to celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary. And there I made a critical mistake. I forgot that I was outside the United States. I mean, it was a resort. I forgot I was in a foreign land, and I started eating like a local, just pigging out. And it was a huge mistake. I think it was the chili con carne. But, buddy, I had a severe case of Montezuma's revenge. My head hung over the toilet for 24 hours. I spent a day and a night in the deep. You know, ancient Israel was kind of like modern America. It's because of our excellent sanitation and our skill at food preparation and our immunizations. That's what protects us from disease and infections with which the rest of the world struggles. You know, you go to a foreign country and you may have to get shots. You come to America, nobody has to get shots. Israel, too, was schooled by God in diet and sanitation, and it protected them from diseases that affected their neighbors. Of course, today, food preparation techniques have improved to the point to where many of these foods can now be eaten without fear or risk, pork and shrimp and so forth. And so we've been set free from these laws. But back in ancient times, these were real issues. You know, but I think there is more to these notions of clean and unclean than just diet. For through these laws, God also wanted to teach his people some vital spiritual lessons. Understand, man is a consumer by nature. We're a consumer physically and spiritually. We feed our bodies, but we also feed our souls, don't we? And just as some of the foods the Israelites ate were deemed clean and some unclean, likewise, we need to deem some of the movies that we watch and the music we listen to and the books we read, we need to either deem them clean or unclean. And we need to feed our souls on that which is clean, not that which is unclean. The old computer adage is true: garbage in, garbage out. Take in trash and you'll end up trash. Hey, the health food advocate says you are what you eat, which is why my nickname is Twinkie. But the phrase "you are what you eat" also applies to us spiritually. And Moses was teaching the Hebrews that if they ate an unclean food or touched an unclean object, it made them unclean, and therefore unfit for worship or for the service of God. And this same truth applies to us. Consume unclean material. Dwell on unclean stimuli. Touch things that are unclean and you'll become unclean. And you'll be unfit for the worship or the service of God. Hey, don't be like the guy who complained that there was too much sex and violence on his VCR. Think about it. You'll get it. You can take control of what you take in. You can. If you want to be useful and effective for God, you need to set yourself apart. You need to reserve your mind and your soul for God's influences, for God's input. We need to be spiritually clean. Well, verse 24 continues the instruction. By these you shall become unclean. Whoever touches the carcass of any of them shall be unclean until evening. Whoever carries part of the carcass of any of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. The carcass of any beast which divides the foot but is not cloven-hoofed or does not chew the cud is unclean to you. Everyone who touches it shall be unclean. Touch a carcass of an unclean animal and you'll be unclean. And whatever goes on its paws among, that's not talking about a CD player, it's paws. Among all kinds of animals that go on all fours, those are unclean to you. Whoever touches any such carcass shall be unclean until evening. Whoever carries any such carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. It is unclean to you. And if you're unclean, you couldn't enter the tabernacle. You couldn't join with God's people in worship of God. And so for a few hours, you were unfit for service. Verse 29. These also shall be unclean to you among the creeping things that creep on the earth. The mole, the mouse. Notice the mouse was unclean. And it teaches us a lesson for today. For the mouse that connects to your computer and enables you to surf the internet can also be a vile and unclean creature. You know, it's interesting that the computer mouse was invented by a guy named Douglas Engelbart in 1968. He noticed that it was shaped like a mouse, and the long wire that connected it to the computer looked like a tail. And since it scurried across the face of the computer, he called it a mouse. But like mice, the computer can carry terrible disease and sad, horrible infection, pornography. Is the bubonic plague of today. And just like the bubonic plague of yesteryear, it's carried by the mouse. And it's killing minds, and it's killing hearts, and it's ruining lives, and it's ruining marriages. And it makes the mouse an unclean creature. Guys, do whatever it takes to protect yourself from it. Do whatever it takes to protect yourself from the mouse. To protect yourself from the pornography that's out there. Now here's some more unclean creatures. And the large lizard after its kind. The gecko. Does Geico Car Insurance realize that they have an unclean animal as a mascot? As to insects, basically what he's saying here is you can eat the ones that hop, but not the ones that crawl. So the grasshopper you can eat. These other ones you can't. Verse 30 forbids the monitor lizard, the sand reptile, the sand lizard, and the chameleon. Next time you see a little lizard running around, if you're tempted to eat it and you want to stay kosher, don't. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whoever touches them when they are dead shall be unclean until evening. Anything on which any of them falls when they are dead shall be unclean. Whether it is any item of wood or clothing or skin or sack, whatever item it is in which any work is done, it must be put in water, and it shall be unclean until evening. Then it shall be clean. How do you cleanse something that's been contaminated and rendered unclean? You wash it with water. And spiritually speaking, guys, the water is the Word of God. This is why we need to cleanse ourselves daily by continually flushing our minds and bathing our perspectives in the Word of God, in the Scriptures. This is how we cleanse ourselves right here, through the washing of God's Word. Well, verses 33 through 40 tell us that if a lizard falls into a cooking pot, then the pot becomes unclean. If an unclean animal falls into your pot, you've got an unclean pot. God wanted to protect His people from the spread of infection, the spread of disease. The CDC in Atlanta will tell you that communicable disease is a serious business. And in third world countries, it is one of the main culprits. The main culprit of communicable disease is the transmission through insects. And so here he's saying, you know, if a lizard falls into your pot, be careful, because it could be carrying some kind of disease that could infect a pot and so forth. 33 through 40 protects them from this kind of contamination. Verse 41, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth shall be an abomination. And so my mom's advice to me was right. Stay away from creeps. It shall not be eaten. Whatever crawls on its belly, whatever goes on all fours, or whatever has many feet among all creeping things that creep on the earth, these you shall not eat, for they are an abomination. Centipedes are unclean, and therefore an abomination. And speaking of centipedes, did you hear about the big football game between the animals and the insects? Well, the first half was a slaughter. I mean, the animals were winning. Every time the bear or the lion or the elephant touched the football, they went all the way for a touchdown. The poor insects had no defense at all. They were totally overmatched. But in the second half, suddenly the centipede appeared and joined the action. He started playing for the insects, and I mean, he was sensational. He scored touchdown after touchdown, and every time the elephant dropped back to pass, the centipede would sack him. I mean, the centipede brought his team back from a huge deficit and won the game with a last-second field goal. And guess who kicked it? The centipede used one of his feet to kick the field goal, the game-winning field goal. And after the game, the elephant was having this conversation with the lizard, and he said, that centipede was an incredible football player, but I've got just one question for you. Why didn't he play in the first half? And that's when the lizard looked at him and said, well, throughout the first half, he was in the locker room lacing up his shoes. Well, verse 44 is the key verse in this chapter. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. And here's a great definition for holiness. To be holy is to be holy for God. Are you holy for God? With every ounce of your being, with every arena of your life, if you dedicate it to God, do you want to please and glorify Him with all you've got? We should be set apart. We should be different from the rest of the world. The Hebrews, in following these kosher laws, made themselves different from the other nations. We too should be cut from a different piece of cloth. To be holy is to be holy for God. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and school is about to start back, and you high schoolers need to remember that you can defile yourself by hanging out with creeps. And so choose your friends wisely. For I am the Lord who brings you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Notice God frees us to follow Him. Always remember that. God has freed us to follow Him. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. And verse 46 summarizes the chapter. This is the law of the animals and the birds and every living creature that moves in the waters and of every creature that creeps on the earth to distinguish between the unclean and the clean and between the animal that may be eaten and the animal that may not be eaten. Now, chapter 12 establishes procedures for a woman after she has given birth. Verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. As in the days of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean. Now, a woman's customary impurity was her time of the month. And during that time, the time of her menstrual flow, she was considered unclean. Now understand, she was not morally unclean. She was ceremonially unclean. And before we go further, we need to delve a bit into the mind of the Hebrew. In addition to this idea of moral cleanness, they also had a concept that was different. It was ceremonial uncleanness. And you need to know the difference. You see, moral verdicts of clean and unclean were based on the good or evil intrinsic to the act. But ceremonial verdicts of clean and unclean were based on symbolism and typology. You see, nothing is sinful or immoral about a woman's menstrual flow. But when the Hebrews thought of human reproduction, God wanted them to recall the sin that had poisoned the very fountain of life. We are born into sin. You remember David said in Psalm 51 verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I've had 4 kids, and laboratory findings reveal that they don't like it when they don't get their way. And they kick and scream and cry, and they're selfish by nature. You see, sin has tainted the springs of life. And to remind us of that fact, to condition us to that truth, God attached a ceremonial uncleanness to reproductive acts. Thus, following the birth of a son, a woman was unclean for 7 days. She had brought a little sinner into the world. And God called her unclean to remind her of that fact. Verse 3. On the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Did you hear about the pastor and the rabbi? They were arguing with each other about who was most persuasive. And they both said, well, I tell you what, why don't we go down to the zoo and I'll try to convert a bear to Judaism and you try to convert a bear to Christianity. Well, after, you know, one went into one cage, one went into the other cage. And the pastor was terribly mauled. I mean, he was beaten up pretty bad. He staggered out and he said, oh boy, that was really hard. It's hard to get a bear to believe. But then the rabbi, they had to rush him to the hospital. And he was just, I mean, he was ripped apart. I mean, he was in bad, bad shape. Wires running out of him, IVs flowing into him, And they came to him and they said, tell me, how did you do? Did you convert that bear? He says, have you ever tried to circumcise a bear?
The book of Leviticus details how God instructed his people to sacrifice a perfect lamb to atone for their transgressions, teaching them and us the deep consequences of sin. This knowledge brings greater understanding to the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus, God's only Son, brought for us. He came to earth and lived a perfect life and then died on the cross, taking on all of our sin in doing so. We're now free from the penalty of our sin forever. All that's left for us to do is accept this free gift of forgiveness. If you'd like to know more about Jesus and how you too can live in freedom from sin, please call us at 770-736-2828. You can also connect with us by liking our Facebook page or following Pastor Sandy on Twitter. If you're in the Atlanta, Georgia area, we invite you to visit us in person here at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain. We have services every Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You'll find location information and directions through our website at sandyadams.org. That's all the time we have for today on Sandy Adams Radio. We hope today's message has been a blessing to you. Join us again as Pastor Sandy continues to share insights from the book of Leviticus right here on Sandy Adams Radio.